says "Living on a Prayer." That is Trey's. That's his jam song.
Hey man,
we were trying to figure out rock songs and to intro in, and I played Korn first. He's like, "Yeah, maybe a little too heavy."
I mean, hey, I like Korn.
Yeah, Korn's cool. But no, if you can't hate Bon Jovi when you hear "Living on a Prayer," dead or alive.
And he said you're halfway there.
So yeah, halfway, like, you know, exactly. So we are, which is actually a perfect segue into we're almost there to the end of opening day.
Yeah, man.
So yeah, give us a little recap of the. So if you don't know, it's your boy Wes, but this is Trey. Trey, this is Trey's show. I'm sorry.
No, it's all good, bro. We collaborative effort on this. So
yeah,
you know.
So
what we're doing.
Yeah, so you've been watching the game all day. He's got the pinstripes on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So how we looking? We're playing.
So just to give you a little recap, Framber Valdez did start for the Astros. He was dealing there for a minute. We were scoreless through five. The Astros tagged us with four pretty quickly.
Yeah, but looks like we got three in the fifth.
Yeah, we got three in the fifth. Nestor started out rough, but man, before he got pulled, man, he started to really string it together. Started to get a lot of quick outs, getting people to ground in the double plays and whatnot. So
right, so we were starting to look like the Yankees.
Yeah. I mean, obviously it was really weird not having Gerrit Cole go out there and be the starter against the Astros, against his old team. But
so for the uninitiated, why would that be a big deal?
I mean, he's our ace, man. Arguably the best pitcher on the planet. Obviously, if you've been living under a rock, we got him after the 2019 season.
Yeah.
Pretty historic contract for a pitcher. So, obviously, come on now. If you're even a casual baseball fan, you know who Gerrit Cole is.
Yeah, no. He's
you know what it is.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
He's the modern-day Nolan Ryan,
man,
if you will.
I mean,
he's going to go down that way.
Man, is
he the next Rivera, Yankee pitcher?
Just literally, you know, the Clemens of the world.
Yeah.
Dude, so I feel like, they said 6 to 8 weeks before, you know, in the middle of spring training and everything, or, you know, right as we ramped up. So what that would put us right about end of May, beginning of June, somewhere in there, I would think.
Right.
Probably be good. So if we can just keep our heads above water until he can get back and get a couple starts under his belt.
Yeah, you gotta get the rust.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I, you know,
Astros are not an easy one to start off
at all. At all. I mean, they're always.
It's not a confidence game, but if you win, it is. But it's not like one of those.
Right.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, they played terrible at home last year, so
yeah.
Maybe I saw a lot of their fans on Twitter saying, we're opening up at the juice box. It's going to be a long one. You know what I mean? Because of how it went, you know, last season. But, and actually, as we say that, Altuve just got on, I think.
Yeah, so it looks like we're at the bottom of the knife.
Yes,
Yankees up 5-4.
Yeah, Clay Holmes is pitching right now. It looks like.
So,
Altuve lined out the second. Hold on. It looked like somebody on first.
Yeah, so we were talking before that between the two of us, we have about six different apps to watch. And,
oh, yeah.
But we can't find this game.
Literally, no. Yeah. Like, I have YouTube TV. I've got ESPN Plus.
Yeah, I got Peacock. I got Hulu.
We just keep naming them.
Just naming them. And it's like, you got to have this.
Yeah. And
I can watch golf all day on Peacock. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love golf. But I'm like, come on, man. And yes, the VPN trick does not work.
No, it does not.
It's a myth. I've tried every way possible.
It is blacked out in the Dallas area. So we are just trying to figure out why that's the case. Because obviously we're not Rangers fans, but shout out to y'all for winning the World Series last year.
Yeah, so I always said, like, I just being from here, I always cheered for the Rangers.
Yeah.
Unless they were playing. It was like I cheer for two teams. I cheer for the Yankees and anybody who's playing against –
The
Red Sox, yeah.
Anybody's playing against the Red Sox.
Yeah, so, but Rangers hometown, but like you were born later, 95, so when the ballpark in Arlington opened up, that was the Pudge Rodriguez, Juan Gonzalez days, Rusty Greer.
Oh,
so.
I'm hip to that.
And yeah.
I went to a few Rangers games.
That old ball. Yeah, I got to go to the opening day, which was crazy.
That's the accident.
Here's my weird flex. I know a name drop. So my Uncle David, he basically rebuilds Ferraris.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he does, Italian sports cars. Mm-hmm. And I'm 14. We're down in Jupiter, Florida. My grandmother lived in West Palm, but we went up to go see him. And he had a photo shoot for three cars. Mm-hmm. So, I'm 14 again, just got my permit.
Yeah.
And we had to drive so it's me, my brother, my dad, and my Uncle David.
Yeah.
Now, my Uncle David would not let me drive his wife's Acura.
Yeah.
So my dad drove a 550 Barchetta. Drew drove, I forget what he drove, but then He goes, Wes, just be careful. This is Pudge Rodriguez's 360 motor.
Oh, yeah, I was
like, you want me to go up 95, which is you know, the main interstate. I was like, so, and then it was like, that was when paddle shifting and all that shit.
You had to do all of that.
And then my dad said to me, because, you know, I drove, obviously, like, responsibly, but where the shop was more industrial. Mm-hmm. So then he's like, all right, Wes, let's go, like, take it. I mean, god damn, that thing just stuck to the ground. Yeah. That was just my drop. Pudge, I drove it. Don't worry, man, you're good. But he got accepted to the Hall of Fame. I saw something. Like,
I'm pretty sure he's going in.
There was a big story about him, or not a big story, but like I woke up this morning, speaking of streaming apps, Peacock.
Yeah.
And it was like, Good Morning Dallas or whatever. And there was something about Pudge that's going.
Is he, or maybe he's,
it's some like the Rangers Hall of Fame or something like that.
And maybe he's going into like they're like they have like a Ring of Honor or something, because I'm about to say he's already in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he was
he was 2017.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Yeah, dude, Pudge was crazy. Yeah, he was okay.
Oh, he's got a World Series exhibit or something like that. I don't know. Basically, he's just being awesome.
I think he's going. Maybe they're going to retire his jersey or something.
Yeah, so this Dallas Morning News. Texas Rangers, great. Ivan Pudge Rodriguez unveils team's World Series exhibit. So,
never mind.
The 95. So, yeah, there he is.
Okay, because I did not see anything about what was going on with Pudge, honestly.
Yeah, but you got to love Pudge. Juan Gonzalez was my. Love Pudge, dude. And then, Juan Gonzalez is the DH, and then Rusty Greer was my shit.
Oh, wait.
Good things happened.
Oh. Kyle Tucker singled, Alvarez the second, Dubon throwed out at home. Okay, so two outs.
Bottom of the ninth. Come on.
Come on now, Clay Holmes. Bring us home.
So I think maybe we just need to get the Yes Network. Fubo.
Fubo TV.
Yeah, Fubo is for us by us.
Yeah, shout out to Damon Wayne. Was it Damon Wayne?
Yeah. It was either, because, in the 90s, you wore the JNCO jeans. You know, you were the goth, corn, Marilyn Manson guy. Mm-hmm. If you were the sports guy, you got to have the starter's jacket.
Yeah.
If you were a skater, got to have the JNCOs.
Okay.
And then if you were into hip-hop, it was Tommy Hilfiger and FUBU.
Yeah.
And Kongol. Those were like, was it. Okay. So when people are all dressed in 90s now, I go, no, you guys don't understand what it
is. Man, bro, like I said, I was born in 95. I got to tell you, like, my version of that was the middle to like the 2005, 2006, early 2005, like 2009, like the big t-shirts and the long joint jeans.
Right.
Bro.
So that was like that.
And
Atlanta.
The forces. That was that Atlanta, like, you know, the Atlanta, and everything. Yeah.
Luda. He's my favorite. But it's kind of funny that. So like for me, like, so with like your style, I was the SoCal. Mm-hmm. I still dress as SoCal skate. So it was like the cons with the Dickies, mm-hmm. tube socks, Hurley shirt, or, you know, that was the style, but it was
that
always
was the way,
dude. But what I always kind of laugh about with the 90s style is that people think it's, there was the grunge look, mm-hmm. but once you start getting to like 97, when the Marilyn Manson, like that industrial rock came out, you had the big time goths, and then you had, there's this weird space look because all the ecstasy club kids thing. I don't know.
Look. Fashion is just like everything else. It's just like all other art forms. It just, you got different people doing different things.
Yeah.
It changes that happen, all that sort of stuff. So, for me personally, bro, I'm one of those people, like, legitimately, like, if you see me, like, I don't really care too much about what other people are doing, like, what you're wearing. Like, I will say this, like, Caleb Williams, the quarterback from USC, he's probably going to be number one overall pick in the NFL draft.
Right.
Was at the USC women's basketball game. We got on the camera and he's got his fingernails painted. He's got a pink iPhone case, pink iPhone. But like so many people are up in, you know,
really,
up
gives
about
a shit.
It. That is not, it's very feminine and all that sort of stuff. And I'm like, personally, bro, I don't really care. Like, you really going out your way to get upset about that, man.
Yeah, like, go look at the 80s metal bands.
Come on now.
I mean, come on. Like, eyeliners.
Come on now, bro. Lipstick, all that shit.
Yeah.
And they was listening to it. Yeah. I don't give a fuck who you are. You was listening to it.
Nikki Sixx literally would, I mean, these guys would literally go, I'm gonna fuck you right there, and the boyfriends would let them do it, you know, and they're dressed in that. Like, it doesn't matter. There was somebody that said there was this, like, a sociologist saying, like, dressing like a woman is like the most masculine thing you can do.
I mean, bro, and there's truth.
Yeah, man, it's like, you do you. Yeah, I guess, like, for me, my if I could wear a suit every day.
Oh, let's go. Game over, baby.
That's it.
Yanks won, baby.
Yankees win,
opening
baby.
Day,
yeah.
Opening day, starting opening us day. Off with a W.
Oh shit.
Nothing beats that 1-0 feeling.
Yeah. So man, this is like when we're real like sports broadcasters.
Hey man, look. Yeah, I'm live. Look along. Hey, I will say to everybody, man, like all the sports that are on throughout the year and everything, as we continue to do this, there will be times where, you know, like now, obviously we caught it at the end, but you know, we'll do live little cast and whatnot. And
yeah.
While stuff's going on. Just like with the NCAA tournament coming on here in a second.
Well, with so yeah, coming soon to Second Floor is we're gonna be doing video.
Yeah, okay.
So we've
been waiting for that.
Yeah, so figured out a way to do it. I found out a way to do it where you don't need to have, you know, a $20,000 budget.
Right.
You know, so you just got to be smart. But mm-hmm. So kind of the very punk rock version of the DIY. Mm-hmm. But I found a lot of cool stuff. So even if we want to do multicam, we can use all three of our phones synced up. And we'll sync up it to one app, and we can switch. There's a lot of cool shit out there. So
I'm with that. And yeah. I did just tweet to everyone out there listening, 162-0 incoming.
Oh, there we go.
The only way that you can do that is by starting off 1-0. So,
yep.
Hey, there we go.
There we go. So it's going to be a long season, but a good way to start. Hey. So, if like we were saying, confidence booster.
Confidence booster, man.
Man, if he could do that to the Astros.
Start off on the road, go out there, get you an opening day win. You know, like I said, if our lineup stays as healthy as it can, I mean, come on, dude. Soto, Judge, and Stanton all batted 2-3-4 today. You like
solid.
And LeMahieu's out right now. Obviously, he's older. But once he gets back to the towards top of the lineup, because we had Glaber leading off today, he went 0-4. But I think that obviously his first game, everything like that, you got to kind of get used to leading off, because I don't really think he led off too many times last year.
I don't.
So, you know, just being able to, if we stay healthy and can just maximize on the other talent that we do have.
We
can't rely on just Garrett Cole starts. I feel like we did that a lot last year.
We did that with Sabathia.
Yeah, just realizing that once they went out there and pitched, we had probably greater than a 50% chance of winning and kind of just leaning on that versus actually going out there, swinging the bat, getting on base, being smart as base runners, all that sort of thing. So
just like that was real, just like money ball. Get on base.
Yeah.
That's the
number one way to score runs is get runners get runners on base.
Yeah, when I lived in Charleston, there was a company like softball league, and so of course it was guy girls, and mm-hmm. the girls on our team didn't know how to play.
No.
And they didn't know like any rules about baseball, so I told them basically that I go, when you hit the ball, don't worry about anything else, just run as fast as you can to first. You can run through it, don't worry about rounding it, just we can get you a pinch runner, just run to first base, that's it,
don't do anything
that
else.
Is the basics, that is
just
baseball 101. It's just
literally
because it was funny because they would like kind of like shuffle and stop at first. I'm like, no, just run through it.
Yeah,
like,
literally. Don't just run. Right,
imagine
the base
is 10 feet further.
And I remember our coaches in Little League used to have to tell us that.
And yeah. And then there was that switch we would go because growing up, it was we did T-ball, then it went to machine pitch.
Yeah.
And then when we got into kid pitch, that's when it was like this, everything changed where there was like the gloves were off, you know, where the coach would hit grounders and we would have to use our whole body, like there was no, like, you know, there was all these new
excuses and whatnot. There's, you just had to go out there and make a play,
actually learning plays in baseball. You're like, what?
And
we're all like sandlot players.
There's alignments, there's all these sort of strategies that go into baseball, like, that a lot of people don't know.
Okay, so
you don't obviously have to get into, but
when you're like, hey man, when goes to the second shortstop, you come over, but hey, when you're on the, when you want to twist on your knee, I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I'm like, I'm trying to be like Benny the Jet Rodriguez over here, man. You know, my PF Flyers,
So
last time we talked, the tournament, my bracket
had just started. Yeah,
the first quarter.
Right as
I didn't even know how I'm doing.
Everything tipped off.
Yeah.
I mean,
I can pull it up here, but
I can let everybody out there know that I am a sicko and I did fill out all 25 of the ESPN Tournament Challenge men's brackets. I did do that. And are any of them perfect? Are any of them even in the top three? Or I'm in the top 3.1 million on at least all of them.
There you go.
But I mean, there's like 27 million brackets, I think. So
It's absolutely insane. Like, I mean, it's not, I mean, not even the Super Bowl. I know everybody bets on the Super Bowl, but every company, friends, doesn't matter, does a bracket.
Like, my max points left on my best bracket is 1560, which is pretty piss poor.
Yeah.
But as I was saying to you before we came on, my women's brackets, bro, crazy. Like, I got one that I got Texas winning, hook 'em.
Hook 'em horns, baby.
I'm ranked in the top 3,000 right now.
There you go.
1880 max, 99.9% right so far.
So out of how many brackets in that?
I mean, dude, I don't even know
how. Oh, no, so like in that whatever league or you want to say.
Well, this is just, I didn't even join a group for
that. You just did it just
for. I just did it for the women's, but let's see.
Well, if there was 27 million.
There's like 27 million men, yeah, so I would assume women's is right.
Women's might be lower, but still that percentage. Yeah. If you go by percent.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's when you start getting, we're like, oh, you know, 5% of $100 isn't much, but 5% of, or top 10% of 25 million is pretty goddamn good.
Right, right. So with that said, you got, you know, four games tonight, four games tomorrow. The winner of those games will then play on Saturday, Sunday, Easter Sunday, you know what I mean? So there are actually three games in at American Airlines.
Oh.
So there's two on
tomorrow.
I'm not going to. But there's two. The ticket's way too expensive. But there's two tomorrow night, and then the winners of those will play on Sunday afternoon.
Okay. Yeah, because it was just last week when it started, and what is it? Maybe what? 12 days later, we're already at the Sweet 16.
Yeah, man. It happens fast.
Yeah, this is like a bum rush. No wonder people love it so much.
Right.
Because, yeah, you get a whole season in, what, 2 weeks?
Pretty much. I mean, essentially, geez. I mean, it flies by that fast, so.
Yeah. I think, you know, I don't have mine pulled up, but a lot of these don't look like. Has there been any upsets?
Pretty much been chalk, bro. So not a lot of upsets. I mean, there's been just a couple early.
Like
upsets.
If you just went with like numbers,
yeah,
you're like
a couple early upsets. But the lowest seeded team to make it to the Sweet 16 is NC State as an 11 seed. So
okay,
it's been pretty chalk so far. That's probably why my bracket did as bad as it did, because I was rooting for more upsets.
Yeah. Well, no, you gotta play that. You gotta play both sides of the spectrum.
I was trying to. I would do that if I was betting. Right. And I was throwing money on it. But in the sense of just filling out the bracket, I was just trying to hopefully have some upsets. That way we could have a more entertaining tournament.
Right.
But so far, I mean.
So you played like one smart, one with your heart, one with. So you had like different mindsets. Like it wasn't. Yeah, you weren't feeling like, well.
Couple when I've had a few drinks.
Yeah. You didn't do one where you're like, well, if I just change this one team, you're like, no. Yeah, you got to do it when you have a few drinks. Yeah. That should be like the rule.
Exactly.
Yeah, so. It's like you got to play. You know, you got to play like 7-Eleven doubles for like 2 hours before or something.
Like, if you look at it, dude, like, so let's see. So Thursday?
Clemson, Arizona is playing right now, and UConn, San Diego State.
Yeah, Clemson, Arizona is about to tip off in 5 minutes.
So it's weird because, you know, lived in South Carolina, but I was a USC fan just because I lived closer to Columbia. Mm-hmm. That was literally the only. Plus, it's. I mean, the old joke is there's nothing beats a whole stadium of women yelling "Go Cox."
Yeah,
I mean, literally, there's no
dude.
I got no skin. I have nothing against Clemson, but
I'm very familiar with the University of South Carolina.
Oh, yeah, are you?
As in terms of like the fact that they're the Gamecocks and that's a thing. Like, I'm familiar with.
My buddy who was flying out to California, but he had a layover and like he was going to like LA, but he had like a layover in San Francisco and he had his USC. Yeah. It just said Cox and everybody's laughing at him. And he's like, what the fuck are you looking at? And they're like, yeah, your shirt in San Francisco, your shirt says Cox. And he's like, oh no. Yeah. We're from where I'm from. That
South
means
Carolina,
Gamecocks.
Gamecocks. Yeah. No, I mean, dude, Spurrier was there. You know, Jadeveon Clowney, Marshawn Lattimore.
Who was the guy that did the hit?
That was Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah, that was, oh, God.
A lot of great players. Debo Samuel, Ace Sanders. Man, shout out to Stephen Garcia, man. Very underappreciated South Carolina quarterback. He was very successful. And I can't remember the other dude's name. I think he was number 14. His name was Connor something, I think. But shout out to Stephen Garcia. Any South Carolina fans out there that ever hear this, I'm telling you, he was a dog.
Anybody that knows me that listens to this podcast, everybody's in South Carolina. Hey. So
shout out Stephen Garcia. Y'all gonna look and be yeah, like, damn, gonna, you know what he talking about? Hey, I'm trying to tell you, I'm coming. Hey, look, growing up, those was the people I was watching on Saturdays.
Yeah, so
Stephen Garcia's of the world.
So to all my friends back in Charleston and Hilton Head, this guy, he knows what he's talking about. All right, so
bro, like,
he's
the real deal.
I'm
a junkie, bro. I just grew up, and I just once I got into it, I was just hooked, and I just every Saturday. And you just, I mean, at a certain point, you know, it's just year after year. After you understand how sports work, you realize that there's seasons. And then, you know, you look forward to it every year. So
yeah. And then
I was locked in.
And then you start realizing the psychology of it, like, between, like we were talking about before, like, how you have to train. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you have, like, what, you have your games, and then you have to go to school. Yeah. And then you have, in the off season, you still got to go to school. Then you got pre-training.
You still got your stuff outside of the team.
It's a year-long. That's why they're like, oh, he got caught with weed or whatever.
Let them people have fun. Yeah. They don't get a lot of downtime, bro.
Decompress. Hey, I know more police officers and firefighters that drink like fucking fishes.
Dog, you know what I mean? Like, come on, man. Like, let these people have fun. They don't have a lot of downtime, bro.
Dude, it's like you're like a fucking king on campus.
Right.
And you're 20 years old. I mean, if I had... Because I was watching that thing on Netflix about the about the swamp.
You got NIL now, too? Oh, you was watching the Florida documentary.
Yeah. When they were like...
Man, that wasn't even as good as it should have been. They left a lot of stuff out of it.
Oh, yeah.
No Aaron Hernandez coverage. Which
He has his own thing.
I know, and even that wasn't that good to me.
Yeah.
Like, at first, it was cool, the concept, but there's so much stuff that they did not cover with all of that. And with Johnny Manziel.
Oh, the Manziel had its own one.
Man.
But, I mean, like, I got them because they, from what I was thinking, is that the perception that we got of him when he was
going through this stuff,
and now it's like, hey, we got to make him look good in this documentary.
Yeah, no, that was like, I was still in high school when Manziel was in college. So, like,
yeah,
the way that it looked now, at that time, you don't realize that, like, him having that much money and doing what he's doing.
Yeah,
is like obviously is abnormal. Like, or like at that point,
he was thinking it with Gronkowski,
right? At that point, I don't really think that we realized, like us that were that young, like how abnormal that was that he was going through. Like, I had, you know, family members and stuff that had played Division I football and stuff like that, and knew like the sort of like, you know, the restrictions and all that sort of stuff that went into it. But like looking at him, what he was doing,
he was just
just going crazy.
I'm more just like, I'm like, hell yeah, you know, like Rage Against the Machine, that shit.
Yeah,
he was just like, you know, it was like kind of like the 70s baseball players, the guy who pitched the no hitter on acid.
Oh, that was, what's his name? That wasn't Doc Gooden, was it? That was Doc Gooden?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Doc.
You wouldn't even realize that he was in Los Angeles, and he took acid, and they told him that he had to fly up. But like Wade Boggs with Always Sunny did the thing about him. But it was like realizing that these guys had basically like pretzel jars full of Adderall, what they call them, greens.
I mean, a lot of football players have came out and said, like Marshawn Lynch talking about taking shots before the game.
Dude, did I send that to you? I saw that.
Patrinacy, he does Patron and Hennessy, bro. Like, that is still so crazy.
And he's like, Peyton's like, take a shot of what? He's like,
Patrice.
He's like, Hennessy. Like, what? Yeah. He's like, I thought you meant like cortisol or something.
Yeah, bro, like, that's the crazy part.
Marshawn Lynch is probably one of my favorite. There's a show on Netflix called Murderville.
Yeah, I've heard.
Yeah, where it's an improv, a loose improv.
Yeah.
And Marshawn Lynch's episode is probably one of the funniest things I've ever watched. Like, anything he does, I just, you know, like one of those guys who just comes on TV, you just smile. You're like, this guy's
just know it's going to be something funny.
Yeah.
And you're just going to enjoy him being
He was even on Lego Masters.
Oh, yeah, he was. Bro, Marshawn is really doing his thing. I love Marshawn.
When, you know, he snuck over and he was like trying to mess with the guys, and he wrote like a note, and I'm like, oh, shit, what is Marshawn going to write? And he goes, yeah, what'd you write? Nope. And it was like, what do you mean? He goes, because every time they look at their designs, it's just going to say nope. And I was like, that's fucking brilliant.
Bro.
You got to love Marshawn.
Okay, so check this.
All right.
So the game is about to tip off, the Clemson and Arizona game. I've got it pulled up on the YouTube TV, everybody. So as we start to go through the game here and everything, as much as we can watch, we got it going.
What's the team? I'm sorry.
Clemson and Arizona.
Clemson, Arizona. Play. That's going to be the one I would want to watch,
so
too.
6 seed versus a 2 seed in Arizona.
Oh, that's a good one. Where are they playing at?
This is a West region game, so I want to say it's L.A.
L.A.?
I want to say it's L.A. Man, I'm not. I mean, go
far
check.
Away from South Carolina.
Yeah, they playing at Crypto.
Okay.
Hey, shout out to the Lakers, by the way. Yes, I am a Yankees, Lakers, and Cowboys fan. I don't care what anyone has to say about it.
It's all
I
good,
just
man.
Put out that disclaimer because a lot of people are like, "You're such a bandwagon, yada yada yada." I've heard it my whole life. I just want to let everyone know that I don't care. And like I just at this point, every like I will go places and they'll notice it or you know get into that conversation and they'll be like, "Oh, bro, yeah, yeah." And I'm like, "Dude, listen, this is what you need to understand. You are going out of your way to be upset about that. I just want you to put that out there for you. You're going out of your way to be mad. I don't care who you root for."
Yeah, it's and also you're like, "I'm sticking with the team for the highs and lows."
I've been rooting for them my entire life. Like, I don't understand. Like, would you have more respect for me if I just jumped ship and became another? Like, then I would really be a bandwagon.
Yeah,
I would literally be the definition.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what are you talking about? And so they're like, "You just root for teams that are easy to root for." I'm like, oh, the Yankees are easy to root for. The team that you say has so many World Series championships, 27 to be exact.
Yeah. So, but
last year we missed playoffs.
Yeah. What's did up you with forget that? About after 97 that we didn't win, or 77, we didn't win anything until 1996?
Was that 96? Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
George Steinbrenner bought it for not, like, yeah, they're just, like, "Well, there's no caps." So I'm like, okay, so you're going to tell me that if you have $1 billion, you can go. You're not gonna go offer the best players.
You're not gonna go spend as much money as you can on the best players.
Yeah,
because you can get them. You want to win games. That's how you win games. Yeah, with the best players.
And as they always like, you know, even like with music, it's a business.
Literally,
yeah.
At the end of the day, and it's actually crazy that you say that because I was listening to Gilbert Arenas. He used to play in the NBA.
Yeah,
and he was saying that a lot of front office people that he knew and was cool with would say, or you know, that he would talk to and everything. Would tell him, like, you know, "You'd make a great GM, yada, 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 because you knew how to build a team." But he said, this is the difference between, or that a lot of people don't really know, is that it's not about building the best team. It's about making the right business decisions.
Right.
That's why whenever you see a team win a championship or all these other sort of things, at the end of the day, they're worried about their bottom line. Just like everybody else.
That's why they have public relations. Yes. That's why they have, you have pre-screening interviews. Mm-hmm. How are you going to dress? It's all
about that bottom line.
Yeah. I mean, and that's where, like when I was in radio, like people were like, "Oh yeah, it's the most fun job." But I go, but at the same time, there's days I don't want to. But it's a business.
Yeah,
like
at the end of the day.
Yeah, we need to make money.
Yep.
For our clients, like mm-hmm. that's the whole
point of doing this.
Yeah. So.
And so I mean.
But know. Yeah, when it yeah that's you know it when it always comes down to it, everything's.
But on that little side tangent, I'm sorry.
No, it's good. No.
But. I just feel like people really get upset about a lot of things that don't matter at the end of the day.
No, it doesn't.
Like who I root for it
it's day, like who you root for. Matter. It's like, yeah, like even if like, let's just say okay, so I'm a Giants fan, mm-hmm. Cowboys fan, right? We could be enemies for what, 4 quarters?
Yeah.
And then,
twice a year.
And then it's just
I got
like
15 other games. I
yeah, play. It's like, you know dude, know what I mean? Yeah, it's just like Ted Lasso said, right. Be the goldfish. Yeah. Just forget
for
about
that,
it.
For that particular week, sure, we don't like each other.
But I'll talk.
I got 15 other games to worry about.
Yeah. So that was when the Giants, when they beat the Patriots mm-hmm. in that season, I was in Columbia actually. It was like Thanksgiving break and mm-hmm. stopping at a friend's house, and all these guys, I forget who the Giants were playing, but they were playing Green Bay.
Yeah,
and we beat them, and these guys were talking shit to me the whole time. I didn't say a fucking word at all. Mm. And then once we won, the guy had a cheesehead hat on, and I just like, man, I can't wait to fuck that cheesehead with my giant dick right now. And dude, I thought this guy like literally had to like storm out of there because apparently what I didn't realize was that he had like fucking $5,000 on the game.
Yeah.
I was like,
your money's involved, it's a different ball game.
Or with the Giants play the Patriots mm-hmm. in the Super Bowl, the infamous David Tyree one.
Yeah, man, that helmet catch was nuts.
A friend of mine, her dad chartered planes and somehow from Boston to new Belichick mm-hmm. and all that shit, whatever. Mm-hmm. So they're talking
like
shit.
He talked to him at the airport and stuff.
Like they knew each other, right? Yeah. So I'm in Wilmington where I went to college, and I'm by myself, and I'm getting shit thrown my way the whole time. Mm-hmm. Hey, Wes, you see that? And then once we won, when Plexico caught it, all I sent was sucks.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Just sucks. And then it was, fuck you, Wes. And I'm like, what
you
the shit?
Started
I was like, I've literally said nothing to you.
Like, you know what's funny about that, Wes? Because I actually had this come up the other day at work. I had this table and they were a couple non-Cowboys fans, except for like one dude. And yeah, but here, well, actually two, but one of the dudes was wearing a Cowboys shirt. But pretty much one of the people that he was with, like they were talking about something, and then she was like, "But the Cowboys suck." And he didn't like. He didn't. There was no. Actually, there was no sports being talked about at all.
Yeah, just
she just went out of her way to say that, and I stopped and I was like, you know, I get that a lot from people. Like, I'll just be wearing a jersey or anything Cowboys,
right.
And it doesn't matter who they're a fan of; they'll have something to say. And I always hear, and obviously, like you're a Giants fan, so maybe you agree, but I always hear that we're very obnoxious, and obviously, yeah, we say every year we win a Super, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah,
but I will say that a lot of interactions I've had included people going out of their way
to tell you,
to tell me, like it, yeah. It's different if I walk in a Cowboys jersey, Cowboys hat, whatever, and I start
guns blazing, like,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I start talking shit. But legitimately, Wes, I shit you not, like I'm telling you, I'll just be sitting there, and if you're not a fan of the Cowboys, someone will say something as we're sitting there minding our own business, and I'm just like, how can we be obnoxious, but also be the ones that are getting
right? Like, why are you going out of your way
to say something?
Yeah, like
if we're talking about it, that's one thing.
Yeah, but like if I just saw you with the Cowboys, walked to a bar, saw you with a Cowboys shirt on, like, okay,
right.
If I was to mention, it'd be like, oh, okay, so you're a Cowboys fan, I'm a Giants fan. All right, cool, whatever. So what you drinking? Like it's like that should be known as, hey, we should probably not talk about that,
right?
You know, but like to go out of the way.
But literally, the dude was just sitting there minding his own business, and she was like, "Yeah, but the Cowboys suck." At the end of whatever she said, and I was like, I get that so much."
It's like, how did that transition? Like, it's like,
I remember, because I asked her, I was like, "Why? Like, what makes you, like, what do you have against the Cowboys?" Like, that's what I ask every
time.
Yeah,
why?
And it's every answer is always, "You guys are just so obnoxious, blah blah blah." And I said, and when that happens in that same situation, I go, so we're the obnoxious ones. He didn't say anything.
Yeah.
You went out of your way to say that Cowboys suck, but we're the obnoxious ones.
No, that's that happens as a Yankees fan.
You know, that all, and that's
it's what 100%.
For me especially, it happens with all my teams, obviously.
Oh, so. Dude, when I tell people I'm a Giants fan and I'm from Dallas, they're like, how the fuck? I'm like, my whole family's from New York. Like,
just like my friend Corbin, he's all Boston team because his dad's from Boston.
Yeah, so. it's one of those. It's supposed to be a fun sports rival, but like, I wouldn't give a shit. Like, who gives a shit, man? You root for me, root
also,
for
also, another thing that people are always on me about is is the teams I root for. And they're like, how are you from Texas? You're supposed to do this. And I'm like, the teams you chose to root for are you chose to root for.
Right.
I don't have to do anything that you did.
Right. You're the way,
I'm just saying, like, I don't have to do any of the shit that you did.
Yeah, like, so, like, you know, like, family's from New York, so Yankees, Giants.
Yeah,
was
for sure.
So my dad went to Iona, so mm-hmm. Jim Valvano.
Hey, shout out to Jess. Shout out to Jim and Rick Pitino.
Right? So, but
shout out to the Iona Gales.
Iona.
Man.
And so, but, like, you know, you don't see them, but being in Texas, you don't hear anything about them. So it was just
unless,
like,
unless you're dealing with me.
Deal with you, guys. You are a fucking junkie, sports junkie. I'm like, holy shit.
Shout out.
Remember to tell Dad that.
Oh, for sure. I got him. Don't worry. I'm gonna let Dean know. What
yeah.
He should have told me that when I first met him. I didn't realize.
Iona.
Oh man, I would have had him. Hey.
Oh man, Jim Valvano. Yeah, he's.
I watched Iona play. They came and played at UNT. They was in this. We was in the same. We had a term. We had like a little. We might have had like a little invitational or something with them that
right.
They came and play. Or it might be we must have played them in a regular season game. This is probably like 4 or 5 years ago.
Right.
But I had been familiar with Iona even before that, honestly.
Yeah. And so Iona, but then it was like, so how did, like I always said, like, how do I choose Gamecocks? So it was like, it was closest to me. My best friends growing up were UT fans. Mm-hmm. So I went for Texas. Like, that was, there was no.
Hook 'em, baby.
Yeah, hook 'em, baby. Keep but like, so, but it, yeah, like,
and also go mean green.
Yeah, go be going yeah, to, but going to your point was like, if it seems to be like this law that if you're from Dallas or from Miami or whatever, you have to cheer for every team that has to be in that state.
Right. Like, bro, why?
Why?
I don't like, you don't want to be Astros or Texans. No, I'm not. I'm not from one of the major cities in Texas. I'm from Texas, but I'm not from one of the major cities. So I had no attachment to Dallas. I had no attachment to Houston, Austin, San Antonio, none of that.
Yeah.
So
I was just like,
what does it matter?
I got to go to Rangers game. So I like the Rangers.
Right.
You know, it's like, you can't you can always have like a second favorite team.
Yeah.
It's kind of like,
right.
Yeah. It's like, I like the Rangers because I got to go to the game. It's like, why would I not cheer for
them? That's an attachment that you have. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But it's like, But like in South Carolina, it's all college. Mm-hmm. It is.
Oh yeah.
And I, but so like
South Carolina, there's no professional team.
No, so you got you have so the like Panthers, Iowa, which is in Charlotte, which is borders North and South Carolina.
Well,
yeah.
So, well, nah, I know that. That's what I'm saying.
But like there's So you
other than Clemson and USC,
that's all that matters.
But I love places like that. Like I said, I went up to my girlfriend's dad went to Iowa, so he took us up to a game this year. I love like Denton was like that, like places without a professional team, like
oh, where it's built around, like yeah, that.
Those places to me are so fun to go attend.
Oh, dude, it's because it's
that's what they do every
the
week.
Team, the city do. Revolves
yes,
around it.
Yes,
like, they
I love
need,
that.
Yeah, so that's what you're saying. College sports is a business because it's like the local economy needs that,
right? And like Dallas obviously has so many, has all the teams. It's easy to, you know, for you every season to be able to jump from the Mavericks to the Cowboys to the Rangers, you know, and repeat that in the Stars and repeat that cycle. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or, you know, even obviously FC Dallas soccer team. Right. Like it's easier to do that. But whenever you only have these college teams and you have your whole world revolves around fucking South Carolina swimming and gymnastics and all these other sports.
Yeah.
That stuff's so cool to me.
That was UNCW. We were somewhat decent at basketball, but we were really good at diving.
It was pretty solid this year.
Yeah, we were good at diving and swimming. It was like, okay, we got that going for us.
Because I told you one of my homies is from Charlotte.
Yeah.
Charlotte. Yeah, shout out Quinn, bro. You're going to hear this one day.
You're going to hear it soon, man.
You're going to hear this.
I'm streamlining this shit.
For sure.
Yeah,
we're outside with it.
Hey, but I like to say it's live-ish.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's live-ish.
It's live-ish.
Like Anthony Anderson, that show, Black-ish.
Black-ish.
It's just a little black. Just a little
I love that shit. Some of the shit that they get away with when he said, I was like, his co-workers, like the super stereotypical white. And I'm like, how the fuck? I'm like, oh, wait, probably Anthony Anderson wrote that.
And you know what's crazy on that subject? Have you watched that Quiet on Set documentary with Drake Bell?
No,
about
yet.
Nickelodeon and stuff?
No, I need
to.
I went on my Ted Lasso bender a few days ago.
Oh,
so
no, bro, I was going to say, like,
the dark side of
Kids TV?
Yeah.
Bro. So much like stuff that went just over our heads.
Right? Yeah.
And then, some of the stuff that like was written in that was like there was one like with the Amanda Bynes show.
Oh, yeah.
What was her name? Taint. There was a character she had that was like the nerdy chick.
Oh, the all that?
Whatever Taint. That was like.
Because they had the SNL version of it called All That.
Yeah.
And then.
And, bro.
I grew up on Nickelodeon. So the cartoons were Ren and Stimpy and Rugrats and things like that. And then it was.
Cat Dog, too, right?
Cat Dog, Guts.
Yeah. My favorite was Rocket Power. My favorite show of all time.
Rocket Power
was my favorite show of all time.
SpongeBob for me.
I understand.
Yeah,
SpongeBob
but Ren and Stimpy was my
I fucked with Ren and Stimpy.
Rocko's Modern Life.
Bro, those were shows that were like Rick and Morty before Rick and Morty.
Yeah, because
except without the detailed adventures,
like, you know, Dexter's Laboratory.
Stupid shit, bro, that was my shit.
Oh
Dexter's
Laboratory
was so hard.
Oh, dude, there was when I rewatched like one of the first episodes. What's that?
Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Oh, dude, he's great too. But then you realize that like these guys are like, oh, they're cartoons. But then it's like you realize that there's a lot more to
things,
it,
bro.
Yeah, it's kind of like what like Pixar movies do.
Bro, it's crazy.
Dude, like I just
can't watch shit like that.
Dude, first time up,
noticing it.
Up fucking tears in the first 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. When I was up, and then I went to go see Wally.
Dog, Wally was
my shit. I'm learning how to sketch him right now. But I remember I was the only guy. I was just by myself went to the movies. So of course during the day, like I'm the weird looking 20-year-old something, and then there's a bunch of kids.
Yeah,
and then. I was going through a breakup, so like seeing how much like Wally loved Eva, and I'm just like getting choked up. I'm like, he just loves me so much. And it's like,
when she was not trying to get him.
I was like, Eva, come on, you got the perfect man
right here.
He just loves you. Yeah, then up, and I was like, wait a minute. So the guy fell in love, she got pregnant, had a miscarriage, and she died, and that's 5 minutes in.
Yeah.
I was like, my God.
He lived a hell of a life in five
minutes. Yeah, did you see they're coming Inside Out too?
Yep.
I can't wait because now they have anxiety.
Bro, did you see they're coming up with an animated spinoff of The Jeffersons?
I looked at it,
and you haven't even looked at the trailer, Wes, and you already said that. I looked at the trailer earlier, and I made it 2 seconds in, and I said, I would not watch this.
That just doesn't, no.
And that's how you know that shit should not be done, because you ain't watched it, nothing. You didn't even know. You said, that don't sound right.
No, because the Jeffersons were, it's a,
I'm so dead.
Without, I mean, It just because I remember Nick at Night, with, like when they would play like Happy Days and all and the Jeffersons and stuff. So I'm just kind of like,
he's like, I'm trying to
imagine like an animated George Jefferson, and then to use the same context and content. I'm like,
but that's the thing, it's not them, it's a spinoff of like, I guess, like their grandkids or I don't remember.
But that's when they redid Fresh Prince.
Yeah,
I'm like,
I didn't watch that either.
Yeah, I tried it. I didn't watch that. I go, it's shot differently. It's not on a sound.
It's not the same.
I was like, you don't have Carlton.
There's certain things you just gotta leave alone.
Just leave alone. Like they were good. You know,
like me, I was with a movie like Transformers, I was very interested in it being live action.
Oh no, absolutely.
But like Lion King, all these Disney movies and stuff.
Yeah,
most of them I'm not interested in seeing live.
No, because they're too real.
Yes, and I had all those VHSs and stuff growing up, so my memory of them is of the animated version.
Oh, dude!
And seeing the adaptations, I'm just like, this isn't very good.
From a technical aspect, like it's cool as shit.
Yeah,
but
right, exactly.
But
that's
like you gotta have like, I remember seeing Aladdin and don't even start on the Aladdin fucking Will Smith as genie.
Dude,
I was like,
I didn't even watch that.
No, I watched the trailer. I said
never.
And I like Guy Ritchie directed it. And I love Guy Ritchie,
yeah,
but like
that was not one of his best films.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, dude, no, this just. You can't replace Robin Williams. Made that movie.
Come on, bro. R.I.P. Robin Williams.
Dude, R.I.P. Do you know he took basically? He made, I think like his pay was like, it was something.
Yes,
it was very, very low.
Like the minimum, 30,000 amount he could.
Yeah, because he just wanted a show for his kids.
Yes, I do remember when that happened.
Yeah, and he didn't take any of the royalties and do any of that. And then he just, yeah, it was like, dude, how can you remake that? Like, I don't even. I'm with you. Just don't. Some things just can be left. Now the remake of The Crow, I don't understand why people love the original Crow. I get it that Brandon Lee died during it and all this, but I watched it. And I was like, The Crow is from like '94. It basically, a guy dies, comes back, and he's like, whatever. Okay. But the remaking it with Peter Skarsgård, who played Pennywise, and all that, and I saw the trailer, and so if you took John Wick with the plot of The Crow with production and just action.
Yeah.
I was like, that looks dope as
bro,
shit.
Bro, they're coming out with another Bad Boys.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh no shit.
Where the commissioner guy got framed pretty much.
Oh yeah. The devil is not welcome here. That's
Bad Boys 2. I can watch Bad Boys 2. 7 days out of the weekend.
Oh, dude, it's so good.
Hey,
Will Smith, just shout out to you. Just remember when you were awesome like that before the slap and all that, dude.
Why did you let Jada do you like that?
Yeah, dude, but
she's in love with a dead man, Will. Why did you do this?
Just come on, man. But Chris Rock's stand up after that, just his response, where he's like, came up to me like a bit, like he kind of, how he kind of like didn't directly say it to him, but how he. Because,
I'm so surprised.
But he was like, and then he won the Oscar, and I was like, what?
Like, I just remember one of my homies, because I was not watching the Oscars. I don't really watch.
I don't watch them anymore.
But my homie put in our Twitter group. He was like, shout out to you, Ben Marsh. He's like, did that really just happen? And I was so confused. I was like, did what just happen? And I go on Twitter, and Will Smith went up there and slapped Chris Rock. And I was just like, I was sitting there like, bro, what is going on?
Yeah, because I woke up and I saw like a post my buddy did. It was like, you know, shout out to my buddy Tyler Boone. He has a bourbon. And it was like, and it shows this like slap. And it was like, oh, I don't like Boone's bourbon. And it's like, you know, it was just a meme. And I'm like, okay, I don't get it. And then so like 30 minutes later, everything's blowing up on my Google News feed and shit saying, you know, Will Smith slaps Chris Rock. And shout out to Chris Rock, man, just fucking taking it.
Nah, for real. And actually, you saying that, I backtrack. My homie did not say, did that just happen? He said, was that real?
Yeah,
or was that staged?
Yeah, because he
said, was that staged?
Dude, because Chris Rock even said, like, he didn't know what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. But, man, like, talk about just keeping her cool.
Talk about being a hell of an actor.
Dude, I love me my Chris Rock.
Man, Chris Rock, go fun.
Dude, the first two comedy albums that my dad, when I was little, I listened to was
Eddie Murphy on Madagascar.
That he was great on that.
Yeah.
But Eddie Murphy's Delirious, Dennis Leary's Lock and Load, and then Rolling with the New by Chris Rock. Mm-hmm. When, you know, I learned about tossing salad when I was 10 years old because of that.
Yeah.
That was the toss salad, man. But those Chris Rock stand-ups were just so good. So
I heard a lot of my stuff, like dirty stuff like that, through music.
Yeah.
Without even realizing
it. So that was weird because my parents tried to, like, not let me listen to the stuff that was the parental advisory.
My mom did too. And then, I could only listen to clean versions of songs.
Yeah, the radio edits.
And then my other cousins would just give me, like, so that was back when you would download through, like, LimeWire on your MP3.
Oh, the fuck up your whole computer. Yeah, yeah.
That, but they would rename it the clean version, but it was always a dirty version.
Oh, yeah, that's what
they would hook me up.
Dude, this was like, I remember because, like, Walmart would sell the radio friendly ones, right? But if you had to be, and this is in South Carolina, you had to be like 15 to buy the parental advisory. Mm-hmm. And this is when like Nelly's Country Grammar came out.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, God. Such an amazing album.
Such a crazy. Man, we're going to have to start changing up the intro music. It's just, we're going to do a little bit of everything,
dude,
bro.
Nelly's Country Grammar is one of those,
I don't give a fuck.
You just push play on track one and just let it play.
Because like you saying that, like I want to come into that, you know.
Yeah, no, we can outro
to that. You know what I'm saying? Like we need to just start switching it up and just going.
Dude, I'm always down. Yeah, I'm going to just cue it up.
We just going to do everything.
But yeah, so like it was kind of like buying the equivalent of a teenage buying beer, you know, like somebody who's got like an ID.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like my brother's 2 years older, so he's 15, I'm 13, and I wanna get the new Slipknot album or something like that, or Marilyn Manson. And it's like, you know, but you know, your friends are like, oh man, like, can your brother get me that parental advisory CD?
Just like, I got a question.
Yeah.
What was that song that you was playing, that Van Halen song you was playing on the drums?
With the insanely long intro on the times.
What was that?
Everybody Wants Some.
Bro, I was trying to find that song because I wanted to listen to it while I was on a run.
Yeah, that is so Alex Van Halen is one of the greatest, and the Hot for Teacher intro everybody knows, and that's because it's incredible. But the intro to Everybody Wants Some to me is so cool because it's objectively not, when you look at it, it's just you're just playing, you know, your floor tom and your second tom. That's it,
right?
And the kick. That's really all you're doing. But you play it for so long.
Yeah.
It's cardio too. And it's
no, bro, like I mean, that's why, like I said, I've been going on runs and everything, so I just wanted to try to find some new music to listen to.
So you just play, yeah, you can't, if you just put on, you can't go wrong with Van Halen, Everybody Wants Some, Hot for Teacher, or, you know, Running with the Devil, all the, I mean, just the whole album 1984 is great. But yeah, what's crazy when I started playing drums was then learning, you know, playing like I downloaded Sean Paul Get Busy,
because
I love the song.
Yeah,
fucking way it's not easy. Like I did, it's like incredible when you don't think about these 80s pop drummers or things like that, and these, it's just such odd timing. So I don't know, but yeah, but yeah, I guess going back to like the parental advisory and things like that, we had to get the clean versions. But with like Stan, I'm like, Dad, I watched Eddie Murphy's Delirious when I was like 7, but now I can't listen to this Blink-182 album.
Dude, and like, it's so crazy. Bro, like comedy and stand-up comedians to me is such an interesting thing because like, I would always hear about Eddie Murphy and like all these people that started off as comedians.
Right.
That I never knew started off as comedians, really, or like heard of it, but never heard any of their stuff. Like when you showed me that Italian.
Yeah, the Eddie Murphy Rod. Yeah.
And then like there's the Chris Tucker, like Bill Clinton impersonation.
Yeah.
Like, bro, there's so much shit that's so funny from these comedians that I never really even knew about.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't just, I got into really watching just stand up comedy specials with like Cat Williams and stuff. Like that was when I got into it.
Right.
Because I was so young at that point. Like I wasn't alive for Red Fox or any of these early comedians. So at that point, like I really got into Cat Williams and came up with Kevin Hart.
Right.
Like, I watched Chappelle's show. I didn't really
get to watch
too many of his stand ups before he started doing that.
Right.
And then I went back and did it.
But like, then you start, see, he was a Nutty Professor. Dude, he was a lot of people don't believe, I mean, when I say a lot of people, Steve Martin was a stand-up comedian.
You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying.
His
so
Let's Get Small is incredible.
I didn't even know.
So good. And it, because one thing I like about Steve Martin is just because he just, it's just silly. It's just funny. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. It's not these like punchlines, like hardcore. It's just, It's more like just kind of like listening just to somebody talking.
He's just goofy.
He's a goofy guy. Yeah.
He's just one of those people that like doesn't, like you said, doesn't have to say punchlines to be funny. Cause there's people like that, like that aren't goofy, but yeah. They're still funny. They just have to say funny things.
Yeah.
He's just a goofy person. He's just funny naturally.
He says it like one of my favorite ones was like, yeah, my mother called me the other day and she wanted $10 for some food. And I was like, hey, I work for a living. And it's like, maybe I'll make her move my barbells up to the, but like, right. You know, it's like, when you're young, you don't think it's that funny, but it's like when you get older, you're like, dude, $10 for your mother to get food, and that's what you're complaining.
Yeah,
that's funny. Like that's
And then you start to realize,
and you're like, that's a funny joke because that was the punchline. It was the delivery of that word. So
okay, real quick sidetrack.
Let's get back to the NCAA.
I do want to point out that Clemson is up 24-12 right now. The number two seed there.
What time?
7:56 and counting in the first half.
Okay. So, counting down?
Counting down.
Okay,
so it's
cool.
20 minutes and a half in men's.
Yeah, so I was like,
it's weird if you watch women's college basketball because they do four quarters, NBA does four quarters, WNBA does four quarters, but the men do two halves still.
Yeah.
But,
that was, again, like I said, I was watching Ted Lasso because I didn't realize how great it was. But when he's
I still haven't watched it yet. I've heard so many good things. One of my homies told me to watch it.
It was so great because Jason Sudeikis is so good at being the asshole.
Yeah.
But he's not. He's just the most likable guy. But everybody else is bitter.
Assholes.
Yeah. So he's just like this really just charming guy from Kansas City.
Yeah.
You know, he's just folksy guy that's just knows nothing about soccer, but he's just a good coach.
You know, I heard something one time, speaking of that sort of dynamic, for all those people out there listening, just remember each and every day that you are blessed to wake up by God, that if you run into one singular asshole during your day, they are most likely the asshole. But if you keep running into assholes throughout your day, you are probably the asshole.
Yep.
So just remember that.
Your surroundings, you mirror your surroundings. You know what I mean? Yeah, so it's like.
So if you keep running into assholes, I feel like at the end of the day, you might need to go look in the mirror and say, am I the asshole?
Yeah.
I'm not passing judgment. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That's something to keep in mind throughout your day.
And then if you can just keep to your true self and like you're just a good person, then people start to change. Like, hey, like, because it's kind of funny in the show, they're like, yeah, he just, you know, the guy who like trash talked him, like the other coach, and he was like, yeah, he was like really genuinely nice to me. Is he like playing? He's like, yeah, what a fucking asshole. And he's like, no, he's just that nice of a guy. But that's like just going to what you're saying. It's like, there's always this ad, but when you're surrounded by that and those people aren't changing, then it's like, okay, maybe you got that come to Jesus moment.
Yeah. No, actually, though. So like, you know.
That's what
one of those things to put out there for people. I've had to kind of realize that myself as a person that seems to be fairly likable to people, I would like to say.
Very likable.
You know, appreciate that, Wes.
The first five minutes we ever recorded.
Yeah, no.
Had a fucking blast.
I mean, I just, you know, there's just a lot of other stuff going on in the world that you can focus on other than being a unlikable person. Those people out there in the world that you come across every day that just everyone else out there has done something wrong to them or is doing something wrong to them. It's just like you gotta at some point just kind of
just let it go.
Just eat that and let it go and just be happier.
It's like, you know, oh, did you hear what's going on? I'm like, dude, I'm just trying to work, pay my bills. I just want to go home to my wife, have a beer. You know, like,
it's a lot like that joke that I saw one time on social media of, they said if there was an alien invasion and there's certain people on the earth that they would come down and they would, you know, sit there and look at it and be like, the alien was like, oh, hey, I'm an alien. Like, are you not, you know, freaked out? Yada, yada, like. And the person goes, yeah, I just got a lot going on right now.
I would like
to get excited and be freaked out, but I just got a lot going on.
That is the New York City mentality.
Bro, when I saw that, Wes, I was so dead. Because they literally said, like, it was just this drawing, and, like, it was like, this, what if aliens came? And they was like, this is me right now. It's like, I just got a lot going on.
I don't have time for this. Yeah, that was like the joke in Coming to America when Eddie Murphy gets to Queens. And he's like, hello, Queens. Fuck you. Yes. Fuck me. Yeah.
Man.
It's like, it's kind of funny with like within, like in New York, is, you know, all the, it, not, I mean, all the cultures are there, but every, you know, it's like you go to the bodega, it doesn't matter what you're dressed like, it look like, your money's still green. They don't give a shit. Like, that's why it's such a liberal city. They're like, they're not doing anybody doing anything wrong. So just whatever. I'm just like,
okay. I was going to say, I remember I told you we had dinner at 7, but that's good now. We can keep going.
Okay. Yeah, so yeah.
You,
yeah.
Got, you got something to do?
No. Yeah. Sure? Yeah.
Okay. Cause I was going to say we keep going. I just, we,
oh yeah. So is good. Dinner still at 7?
No, we're good.
Oh, it got canceled?
No, I'm just, we're going to keep recording. I'm
okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, because we're almost at an hour.
Oh, really?
Okay, cool. Yo, so shit, this food.
Let's keep
food.
Rocking then. I mean,
yeah,
shit,
let's like, keep it going.
You know what I mean?
So,
let's keep rocking.
What's a, any updates on the UConn-San Diego State game?
What time is it? Oh, 0-0 just tipped off. Okay. I actually got the multi-view I can do right here. That's what I, because that was another thing. I was like, why these first two games at least tipped off, we can just kind of.
Yeah, shoot the shit.
Keep
That's
keep
what it's
rocking,
all about.
You know what I mean? So.
Well, that was kind of when we tried to discuss the format. Yeah. Was, I mean, this is your show. I'm just
no,
kind of the.
That's, you know, and that's for me. Like, I, when people were telling me that I should do something like this, that was what they had in mind of either while sports are going on, just shooting the shit, or, you know, like you
yeah.
said, the once a week analysis.
Recap the
last,
yeah.
And everything like that. So,
yeah, I mean, we can, I mean, but I like shooting the shit, and I'm
yes,
trying to.
Bro, like about everything too. And I love how, like, when you said, you know, music, pop culture, like
yeah.
all that sort of stuff. Like
yeah.
I love doing that.
Yeah,
too,
no,
so
that's like what I, with my lack of sports knowledge, I can tell you everything you want to know about rock music.
Right.
You know,
right.
So that's where, but there's a, you know, it's all about the crossover. That's why you don't want to have the same two people on mm-hmm. on air, because you want, you know, shared passion, but like you know, we're completely different in too,
right.
in a good way.
Yeah. Exactly.
So it's like, yeah.
Well, if you just surround yourself with a bunch of people that are like-minded like yourself, you're
yeah.
not going to grow. You
yeah.
don't get to see any different points of view or anything like that. Like, 'cause you don't, you're not going to agree with everyone on the planet that
no.
you come across. It's
yeah.
just not going to happen.
And that's why, like, I listen to philosophy. Mm-hmm. And, like, I want to understand objectively, like, okay, so why do you think like that? So mm-hmm. what's the... And so, you know, if you look at like my YouTube searches or Google searches or things like that, it will mm-hmm. have these crazy opposite things. And
yeah.
it's like, no, dude, I'm just trying to understand
your side of it.
Yeah.
I
was like,
I know where I come from.
I'm still like morally repulsed by
yeah.
it, but I get it.
Yeah.
Okay. That there's some, it's flawed logic in my brain, but okay.
And see, people can't see this because we're not doing video, but I'm pointing at you like you just made, like you just, that's exactly how I think
we
of
think
things
too, yeah.
because it's just like, do I agree with what you're saying? No.
Yeah.
However, I am very interested to see how you got to this thought process.
Yeah.
Because, you
yeah,
know,
like
we
where's the
complete opposite of the spectrum. How did you get to this point though?
Yeah. And
how did you come up with that?
Yeah. And of course this is where my mind, and we're having a hard time, but like, so we always joke, like, again, like, how did you get to that? And I've had this conversation with just randomly with people too, with God, we went from so like nice and soulful, but it's about to get dirty.
Yep.
So like, ever seen the movie Cruisin' with Al Pacino? Mm-hmm. Okay, so quick synopsis, basically Al Pacino's an undercover cop. There's mm-hmm. a guy killing all these gay people mm-hmm. in New York, and he goes undercover as a gay guy to try to find the serial killer.
Okay.
Right? Okay. So there's a scene that they talk about, the bandanas. So if you wear like a yellow bandana on your left side, that means you like to get urinated on. But if it's on the
okay.
right, so there's all this stuff. So then we all started talking. I'm like, so where's the jump? Whenever he's like, oh man, how kinky are you? And it's like, oh, I like, you know, a finger in my ass. They're like, okay, I can kind of get my brain, but I go, where's the jump from finger to fist?
Yeah.
I don't like,
at what point
you're like, you know what? I think I want to get defecated on.
Right. For everybody at home, these are the type of examples that you need for this type of discussion, because it's just like you said, where in the world do you jump from this to that?
Yeah. Cause
you
like,
know what I'm saying?
Like when you first start having sex, it's like three positions, missionary, cowgirl, doggy,
yeah.
right? Those are the three. That's it,
it's
right?
Typical.
But then, like, somebody has to evolve to, and then somebody has to try. And then you realize that a lot of people have. But I'm like, what is that jump?
What made
yeah.
you jump to
you
that?
Went from like, you know, kind of touching a different zone to like, you know what? I just want somebody to pipe a gerbil up my asshole. You're like, what? How did you like?
I mean, like, you think about something as you know, basic as, you know, fellatio.
Yeah.
How did a person decide, like, let me put that in my mouth instead?
Right. You know? You go fellatio, then you just go, you know what? Like a bukkake.
Yeah. Yeah. All that sort of shit. Bro.
Yeah. It was just one of those. I'm going, wait, so, because I thought it was more like a, not like a gimmick, but like it was like a thing that was a weird niche. But like, if you go on like Pornhub, like that's a whole category. It's not like some like, there. And I'm like, this is, I'm like, so guys, I'm assuming are the ones watching it. I'm going, so wait, so this is what
just so y'all know, everything unfiltered. Everything's unfiltered on here. Dude, we don't have no filter on.
Yeah,
here.
I mean, we're all
there's
saying,
no reason for it.
Just we're smart guys.
Well, I mean, we just live in an age now where like on Twitter and on social media, you see so much shit going on in the world. Like you see people get blown up and killed and beheaded and shit. Like, yeah, it's just, I'm just like, just a disclaimer, that, like everything goes just because that's just the world we live in now. And yeah, it's just very. Just,
but we're not like judging. I'm just like literally just
we're just trying to figure out like where's people's like, thought processes. Yeah, are, like, I'm sort of stuff.
You know, just,
like what makes a man go onto that category and search?
Yeah,
and
so and you it's like saying? Yeah,
like, who
it's
does that?
No judgment. Just yeah, judge, just like, I just don't. Doing, I don't. I don't.
Who's
get
doing
it.
That? And like, why is that your? Because I want to know what that's your thought process. Like, how do you get down like that? Is that was that one of your first sexual experiences?
Yeah. Oh God, can you imagine? Like, I mean, just Jesus Christ.
I'm just saying, that might be. There's a lot of people out there that be into some
hey,
shit.
Hey, man,
like that,
hey,
so.
You do you, man. As long as you're not hurting anybody, you know, as long as it's consensual, that's all
you
I care about.
You know what I mean? That's all we give a fuck about.
Yeah. But yeah, no, but the unfiltered, you know, the content goes wherever it wants. Right. But this is how, like, we were talking about format. It's just,
yeah,
we're just like two buddies, just two buddies just shooting
the
shit.
I was just letting people know because some people might be like, oh,
what the fuck are they?
Bro, like, there's all kind of shit out there in the world, bro. Don't try to do that right now.
Yeah. Well,
also, I will point out that this UConn-San Diego State game is a rematch of last year's national championship game.
Oh, so they played.
They played last year.
Like
the
final final.
Yeah, last game. Last
oh,
time they played
shit.
Each other was for all the marbles.
Oh.
And UConn went out there and put their hands on them.
Well, I mean, they're number one. But San Diego's number five, so it's
but,
not.
Well, but last year, UConn was a six seed.
Oh, I'm just saying, but it's not
oh,
like,
but yeah,
yeah, because I'm not saying they were like number 20 or
no, yeah,
or something
yeah,
like that, sure. Relatively close. Mm-hmm. You don't know, I don't know the difference of four
seeds,
points.
Seeds are relative, bro. It's not that.
Yeah, big. So it's you know, so but like looking at you know the you know I see NC State and Marquette 11-2. That's a pretty big jump,
right?
But. Right. Is the difference between 1 and 5 that much or
it is, but it, like I said, it's not like I said, two, I mean, like 2 and 11 is a pretty drastic jump.
Right.
But like I said, 1 and 5 is there is a difference, but it's honestly not as big a difference as that 2 to 11.
Right. So
but
yeah, because I feel
11
like
could beat the 2, and that 5 could beat the 1.
Yeah, just, the know. Cinderella stories can always come out. But
which did like again this point in the tournament now, like I said, my brackets are pretty much messed up because I was rooting for some upsets and a lot of things like that.
Yeah,
but at this point in the tournament, though, I do consider, you know, let's just say for example tomorrow or you know today.
But that Illinois, Iowa will be good.
Iowa State at 9:09. Yeah, that'll be good. But so tomorrow I do consider if Duke beats Houston and upset it, even though it's Duke versus, you know, it's 4 versus 1.
Coach K.
You know, well, he's not there no more, bro.
Oh, no, that's
they
right.
He got Shire now. His old players.
He's always going to be Coach K.
Oh, it's always going to be Coach K. Yeah. Just like Coach Saban from Alabama. You know, they just got that from now.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, obviously NC State over, you know, number, you know, 11 seed NC State over 2 seed Marquette will be an upset. Like, I still consider Duke over Houston an upset, not just because it's
no, just
4 for 1, but I just think that throughout the totality of the season, Houston was a better team from start to finish than Duke.
Right.
You know? But so I would consider that an upset.
But, like, just coming from a guy who doesn't know much about college basketball, Duke is always known for.
Duke is Duke.
You could ask, like, for me, I could tell you nothing about Duke basketball, but I know enough about Duke is always a big player in
Duke.
March Madness.
Duke is Duke.
No, but like that's what I'm saying. Like UNC, Duke, UConn, like those are if you don't know anything.
I'm saying Duke and like those are the teams in terms of their brand, yes. But in terms of quality of team.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It and that's another thing. I wouldn't be surprised if Houston went out there and put their hands on Duke. Duke has a lot more size in him. That's what's going to be tough for Houston to defend. But I think that Houston's guard play can get it done. However, it would not surprise me at all to see Duke get it done because it is Duke.
And, right.
I mean, they do have better players top to bottom for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, when I lived in Wilmington, a lot of people were from inner North Carolina. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have Wake, you know, NC State, mm-hmm. UNC, Duke, all right there.
Winston-Salem, Raleigh.
There's just so much. And I just, again, it's just such
Durham, Tobacco Road.
Yeah, and so it seems like, you know, Houston would – In my perspective, it's like you said, Houston's coming to play. Duke is kind of would be like relying on like, yo, we're Duke.
Yeah.
Like kind of like I was saying, like, yo, we're Duke. But it's like Houston, like honestly, like growing up, I couldn't even tell you if Houston ever played basketball. I'm just saying from a branding. Man,
Houston like Clyde Drexler, like Houston had some dogs back in the day.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I just like, you know, just thinking like in the past few years, you just never hear Houston on, at least for me, like in the general, I'm talking about like general knowledge.
Yeah,
like I'm not watching ESPN, but like,
yeah.
I'm with you. So I'm with you with the Houston one just because I feel like, yeah, they came to play.
I think that I was talking to somebody else about this the other day. I think that game against A&M that they had the other night, or, you know, last weekend was needed because Houston's a team that they play very, very good defense. They are very reliant on their defense.
Right.
And they don't score a lot. But last game, even though it was in overtime included, still, they scored 100 points. And I think that was a confidence booster that they needed to let them know.
When you triple digits in the college game.
Like, you put up some points.
That's some NBA numbers.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you doing that in 40 minutes versus in the NBA, 48 minutes.
And you only have to get two halves. Yeah.
So, like, I think that was a confidence booster that they needed. Like, their best player, Jamal Shedd, stud. Absolute stud.
What makes him the stud?
He is, number one, very cliche, but he's just got dog in him. He's a junkyard dog. He's not going to let you go out there and bully him. He's not going to let you go out there and outplay him.
So he's just been a raw player.
He's just one of those dudes that, like, no matter who he's going up against, he's going at him.
Not afraid.
And, I mean, he creates for his teammates. He shoots. He's 6'1". He'll rebound. Like, you know what I mean? He does it everything. Like, he does whatever he can to help his team win.
Yeah, it's like, coach, where do you need me?
Literally.
Kind of like Kobe.
Do you need me running point? Do you need me to stand in the corner and shoot jumper? Like, even though he'd prefer not to do that, he still is able to fill whatever role you need him to do.
Yeah, that was like, you see that on Netflix about the Redeem Team?
Mm-hmm. I watched that. Now, that was a documentary.
That was awesome.
Had.
When Kobe.
That was really good. That went into depth. That's the type of depth I wanted them to go in on the other stuff.
Yeah, because when they're like, we're out in Vegas and they're coming and Kobe's out of this. When he went through his own teammate in the first, but it's like, Kobe's dying for, he didn't need to be, he's like you were saying, he was doing whatever job was needed. He wasn't trying to be his own player.
Right. He was legitimately trying to help the team win.
Yeah.
In whatever way he could.
Yeah.
And to Kobe, RIP, got him tatted on me and everything. Yeah. What he looked at was, I can set an example with my work ethic.
Right.
I'm also going to be a leader by talking. Like, I'm going to do all the other stuff. But if I'm up at 4 a.m., you don't have an excuse for not being up at 4 a.m. because I'm here.
Right.
You can come in and join me. You can jump, and drill. You know, it's one of those things that getting in there is one thing.
Right.
And letting your teammates know, like, I'm going to be here. If you want to come get some work in with me, I'm here. Or even then, not even if you want to, you're going to come. You know, Kobe's that type. He's just like MJ. He's going to push you and be like, hey, you got to come with me. I need you to do this.
It's trust. Yeah.
It's trust. It's the fact that we're going to do this right now in December and January, February, and then come October when the season starts to swing back around to June in the finals, we're going to be glad we did it.
Right.
Because we were successful.
Yeah, that's why it's like when you always see, like, when they'll do, like, a pass or something like that where it looks like, oh, the pass behind the back. I'm like, nah, dude, that shit.
He knew he was there.
Yeah.
He knew he was
there. I was like, that's them.
Because you see it happening on a roll. You see, he knows exactly where he's going to be.
Yeah, and like, seeing, like, the alley-oops and shit where you're just going, somebody would just perfectly throw it and place it where it looks like it's street ball, but it, like, nah, dude, that's been rehearsed.
That's reps in the summer, reps in off season.
Yeah, like this drummer guy, this is the group, El Espirito Sabiano, mm-hmm. Which translates into I don't believe in talent.
Mm-hmm.
Or Yeah, because basically he's trying to say it's just practice. Mm-hmm. So, but when you see his videos drumming, he'll say like, "This is my 97th take."
It's just like the it's just like the old saying says, "Hey, practice. Hard work, hard work beats talent when talent refuses to work hard."
Yeah, you can only go so far. Yeah, like when you saw me play, man, that's all
practice.
Repetition, practicing, like a paradiddle. Right, left, right, right, left, right, left, left.
I mean, that was what Shaq said was great about Kobe was he said that Kobe was one of those players that the best thing that ever happened to him was that he wasn't old enough to go out with the older guys because he had no choice but to go in the gym and work on his game.
Right. Did you see the one about and one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
And how the Skip to My Lou was like,
shout out Ray for Austin.
Yeah.
Shout out Ray for Austin. Dude, one of the first street ball players to go to the league and make it work. Shout out Ray for Austin.
Dude,
man.
And hands down, the best name. I was like, God damn, whoever came
up. When he hit folks with the Skip to My Lou in the game, bro, that shit was crazy. I remember that shit, bro.
And then that
shit was crazy.
But then, like, you see, I forget the guy who was the master dribbler.
Oh, bro, Hot Sauce and Professor, all of them.
Yeah, but like where Hugo, I would stand in front of the mirror and just dribble for 8-9 hours a day.
Bro, and one, like I remember I had the VHS tape.
Oh,
bro.
I remember, dude, that was like when NBA Street on like Xbox, like dude, and one, I remember all those shirts.
I had all the and one shit, bro.
Yeah, when they're like
Escalade, Escalade, bro.
Oh, dude, that was the and one, it was just fucking cool.
Bro. It was so fucking cool.
And then seeing like the videos of like when it was like street ball where like you're up in Harlem and just people sitting not only on the fence but on the apartment buildings.
Yes, bro.
On the ledges. Just to watch.
Just to watch, bro.
And it's like score doesn't matter.
Mm-mm. I just want to watch what's going on.
It's all about flair.
And that was the thing. Like I was talking to somebody about it because they're talking about how like the younger players coming out.
Right.
Like going to the NBA aren't ready because they're not focused on the fundamentals, and that's why like a lot of European players are coming over here and being able to play.
Dude, that's
like
why
they're so
those guys are just straight dedicated.
But it's because of what you just said. Like remember when you was talking about making a behind the back pass and all that sort of stuff, and they're like, yeah, these dudes are too flashy, yada yada yada. But some of them I will cut some slack and say they're doing the same thing. No, they're in the gym getting those reps in, so they know.
Right.
Where the player is so that they can be where their teammate is so they can be flashy.
Right.
But there are some players that I was talking to somebody, I was like, yeah, I was at the gym and this, you know, like 11-12-year-old kid walked in there and the first thing he did was shoot a three. Not a layup, not start working on his ball handling, he shot a three. And I was like, you know, a lot of the European players from early 80s, like Luka, like he, you know, he's been playing pro ball since he was 14.
Right.
So a lot of it has to do with the fact that those kids from an early age are taught the fundamentals and forced to use the fundamentals.
Right.
Like nowadays, like our kids in America, like AAU, everything's a show.
Yeah.
Everything is trying to be fancy, dunk on people, cross people over, all that sort of shit. And it's cool. Like it gets you views, yada, yada, yada.
And there is some like that and one flavor to it, but like that's like, dude, they got the clear shot. Like,
but you in an organized game, not a street ball.
Right.
So you
exactly.
need to focus on the fundamentals.
Yeah. It's like, you can have your little bit of flair, but this is a team sport.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I just feel like, also though, I will say like a lot of the Europeans though, they're not good defenders.
Right.
That's the only problem. It's like Luka and Jokic and a lot of people from like Embiid, like a lot of people that aren't from America.
Right.
They kind of help mask the other players that aren't as good. Because they're, those guys are top notch. But they, I mean, that's what a lot of the issue is with the defense. And shout out Gilbert Arenas for pointing this out. Because I will say that. He said he's asked so many people, name me the top five European defenders in the NBA. And you can't do it.
No.
Because none of them are. But what he also is forgetting, though, is that he has acknowledged it, but I will say to cut them some slack, the fundamentals that they learn at an early age is what helps them be able to translate.
Yeah, because it was also one of those, they're like, oh, yeah, these NBA, the N1 and the street players could definitely beat the NBA. And the NBA guys are like, no, you can't. He goes, you guys are like smoking weed right after the game. We're going.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, yeah. We're going. You got to play.
It's a different game, bro.
It's a completely
different
game.
Level of oh, that was Kyrie Irving. Yeah, it was a different preparation. It's a different preparation.
Yeah, it's a different game.
Different preparation level.
Yeah,
bro. Like he said, damn, that's true, though. They are going to smoke after the game, go out, all that shit.
Yeah,
like,
more power to you, but
we
got to
hop on a jet and go to another game.
Yeah, we got to be. Mean? Yeah, so it's funny to watch just because you're like, dude, these guys could be fucking incredible. But like, but it seemed like with N1, it was more, and I use this term because it's just like WWF. It's it's a show. It's Broadway. It's a loose script in the sense of, hey, we're just here to perform, as opposed to, hey, check out how good my layups are, right, or my rebound time is. Because what they were saying in N1 was it was breakdancing mixed with, you know, with basketball. Yeah, like, you know, you can't breakdance and dribble. You'll get, you know, you'll get traveled. Yeah. But like, so it's like its own art. It's an art form.
Right.
As opposed to, it's a blend of art and sport.
And it was also cool because, like, you know, in the NBA, obviously, like, you have it's so structured.
Right.
And so with N1 and street ball and stuff like that, it was no structure. Like, you could do off the easy, you know, all that sort of stuff. And it was just funny. And
it was fun to watch. It was like entertainment. That's all.
Bro, like, remember Slam Ball?
Oh, yeah, bro, yeah, yeah.
They tried to make a comeback with it. I haven't watched none of it. I was excited at first. And then I realized, and that was when I really realized that, like, as you get older, there's certain things that just are meant to be nostalgic and not meant to, to be.
Remember,
a
like
thing
XFL
anymore.
Was supposed to be.
Bro, but The Rock, remember, he bought it and they're going to mix with the USFL and they got the UFL coming out.
Oh, yeah. And who, the guy who funded with Elon Musk with PayPal doing the steroid Olympics?
Oh, yeah. I do remember that.
So that's actually, I'm interested in that when there's like no rules.
Yeah.
It's just like, dude, get as doped up as you want. But Bill, even like speaking of like doping and stuff, Bill Burr was my favorite comic. He brought up a good point, like about like Lance Armstrong. Mm-hmm. And it was like, everybody's up and he's like, so what the fuck did he do wrong? He raised what, $500 million for cancer?
Come on now.
Yeah. And then he like, so what? Like, he
and then they still won't let Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens them in the Hall of Fame, which I think they should, just because everybody was on steroids.
Dude, like, I remember watching the McGuire Sosa race, man. That was like the most fun back in the home run.
I'm sorry that I don't want to watch people hit 20 home runs a season. That's fucking boring.
It's very boring. And that's what, like, you try to like tell people, like,
and also you try to tell these regular motherfuckers like us that don't fuck, like, well, the other people, like, you know, regular that don't understand, like, you go out there and try to hit a home run.
Dude, like,
that shit is not easy.
Dude, watching, so I watched something called I think it was called like Fast Pitch. It was about the science behind like who threw the fastest, and Nolan Stills, because of like how they measured it and where's the distance. But the point of view of the camera of a 98 or even a 95, 90, whatever fastball coming at you, you have 90 feet.
Bro,
your reaction time has to be less than 1 second.
Bro, the hardest thing for your average person to do walking on the street is to hit an MLB fastball.
Yeah, it's
like
absolutely
every
insane.
Time that's come up, they say like score a point in a game in an NBA game. Score like I'm nah. like having played all three sports. I'm telling you right now, the hardest thing to do for your average, like, this is like people keep forgetting. I'm like, bro, it's your average person just walking on the street. Think about this.
Yeah,
it is walking on the street is to hit a 95 mile per hour fastball.
Yeah.
That, you know, like, think about how fast that's moving.
Yeah, and you got 90 feet going 90 miles, and then your mind has to recognize it and then tell your body to swing.
Yes.
So you have less than, it's like 0.3 seconds to,
like,
decide.
It was like that, or score like a point, like score a basket in an NBA game, or score like a 1 yard touchdown.
Yeah.
And it's like those other two things, as much as I love football and basketball, are easier to do than hit a fastball.
Yeah, because
I'm telling you right now, like, are you built to obviously go withstand a hit from an NFL linebacker? No. But obviously there's plenty of goal line plays where runners go in untouched.
Yeah.
There's plenty of open layups that happen in MLB.
Yeah.
Or in the NBA. But watching a person try to hit a 95, like, it's literal MLB players that can't do it sometimes. You know what I'm saying?
That's why, like, when you see these guys like crushing, you're like, oh, like Ken Griffey or somebody, like, you're just like, God damn. Like, just imagine like going to the batting cage and you're doing, because, you know, when you're young, you do like the softball one. But then when you start going to the baseball one and you do 50 miles an hour, and it's like, holy shit. And then you're like, all right, so let's just double that. It's fucking nuts to me. Like, the people, and then like when people say like baseball is boring, I go, yeah, there's a lot of downtime. But I go, but, you know, or like, oh, that, because my wife Victoria, she hung out with Kirby Puckett one time.
Yeah.
She's like, you know, he was big, he was a fat dude, because, you know, like, obviously he was retired, but he was always a big dude. But I go, because these guys are not built like football players, because it's high explosion.
Way different game.
High, it's like once the ball's in play, it is the most intense 10 seconds or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then it's, then it's done. But it's like, like we were saying, you just got to get around the bases as fast as you can.
Right.
And, and you got to have that weight, you know, some, you know, if like Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
Fucking, he was a big dude. He wasn't a base runner, but he had the weight.
Right.
So, like, you know, it's like rugby built or something. You know, it's just, it's a different type of athlete. That's all it is.
Bet. All right, so it's halftime of the Clemson-Arizona game.
Where are we at?
Are you trying to take a break or what?
Yeah, we can take a little break. What's the score?
It is I'm tripping. It is 39-31 Clemson.
39-31 Clemson.
Yes,
word.
Sir.
All right, cool. We'll take a little break and be right back.
And now, please rise for the singing of our national anthem.
From End Zone to Strike Zone podcast with the main host, Trey Ballard.
We in this thing.
And we always try to do some a certain song to intro, but if you're just now tuning in, previously we were talking about Nelly came out.
Yeah.
We talked about Nelly and the Jeffersons.
Yeah.
So we're like, what better song?
We had a bunch of nostalgia coming.
The nostalgia, so what better song than Batter Up by Nelly?
That's true.
We clicked a lot of boxes on that one.
We had a whole bunch of nostalgia.
When we took our little break, it was
halftime at Clemson and Arizona game, and it was 39-31.
And
But the second half has now started, and it is 41-35
Clemson. 41-35
Clemson? 41-35 Clemson.
Okay, but that means nothing in college. So one thing I realized about college basketball is that the last minute is about 35 minutes.
Yeah, it's going.
It's
going drag.
So who take logic and reasoning out of who do you want to win?
Who do I want to win?
Just like if you're just coming as a fan, like I want these guys.
Honestly, I mean, shit, it'd be cool if Houston won. I mean, that'd be cool.
Oh, no, I'm talking about this game.
Oh, particularly Clemson,
Arizona.
Honestly, it'd probably be cool if Clemson won. I'm not big on Arizona.
Yeah, I can see. I can see that.
Zona's got a pretty rich history with basketball and everything, but I've just never been a big Arizona guy.
Yeah, it's always, I don't know, I always just know they're like, it's the number one party school. And I remember my dad.
One of my homies went to Arizona, and he said that that did live up to the billing.
Yeah, and my dad told me this, so it was kind of true. He goes, Wes, every college is the number one party school.
Well,
I agree with both. The level of partying, but it's like, if you just bring it down to, we got wasted on a Tuesday. Okay, well, that's every college.
That's like Arizona State, Texas State. Like, I will say Florida State. There's
State colleges. Get your shit together.
I'll tell you, like, I agree with that. But at the same time, like I said, Arizona State.
They'll bring it
Florida
to next
State,
level.
Yeah,
because because when it revolves around the college, that's the difference. Mm-hmm. I would say, like,
everyone's on that bottle.
Yeah, like going to UNC Wilmington. Yeah, we drank and partied a lot,
right.
But going to UNC,
Chapel Hill.
Yeah, like your life revolves around the college.
You gotta be very smart to get in there, too.
Yeah, so
I was not smart enough to do that.
Yeah, I guess speaking of Michael Jordan, the diner that I used to go to was where Michael Jordan was called Whitey's.
Oh.
It was Whitey's Diner that was in Wilmington. I used to go there all the time.
I've heard of that.
And I was like, oh, how is it? I'm like, it's diner food. It's eggs and hash brown. Like, it's good. Like,
it's just the best food out there, bro. Like, you go to Waffle House, bro.
Waffle House.
You out your body, man.
Dude, I introduced
had a few drinks.
Victoria to Waffle House because I was always about late night diners. It was a northern thing because 24-hour diners. And we came back from a Hell Yeah concert, and she's never had Waffle House, and it was like 12:30, and we're driving back from Greenville to Charleston, which is like 3 hours. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you never had it? And it was like, I'm like, babe, check this out. Two eggs, hash brown sausage, and I always get gravy. Mm-hmm. And we get two of those, less than $20, and it tastes phenomenal. So now we go there all the time. Mm-hmm. It's late night. It doesn't matter. Like, Waffle House is my shit. That's like my guaranteed good breakfast. You cannot go wrong.
Dude, look at this picture of Judge celebrating with Verdugo and Soto.
Look at that smile.
Dude, that's a real genuine smile.
That is like, Photoshopped.
I got some studs out there with me.
Yeah. He knows he's going to get laid later.
Yeah.
Hey. That's all he's thought about with the Tebow thing. You know,
he was a virgin.
He says virgin thing that he says. Yeah. I go, in that Netflix thing, he's a very likable guy. Like when he was all in over sports and all that shit, like it was easy to quote unquote hate him, mm-hmm. but he very smart, very compassionate guy. Mm-hmm. But my joke was always, if he really was a virgin and then when he gets married, you know, finally pops the cherry, I wonder what he's going to be like. Damn, dude, this is what it feels like. And I went to Florida and I didn't take advantage of that shit. That was like,
that's Gainesville.
Yeah, but I'm just going, hey, man, more power to you. Yeah, but man, you missed out on a.
That's Gainesville for you.
Man. Yeah. What do they call it? The swamp, right?
It was going crazy.
The swamp. So we're going to wrap it up a little bit because life tends to happen. But this has been a great sports. We talked. Man, we kind of went through the whole gambit.
We got Yankees baseball. We got MLB opening day.
And then
we got college basketball, Sweet 16 going on. Also, it's 43-42 Clemson, and it's 40-31 UConn.
Okay, and then, the UConn game just started, yeah, right?
Yeah.
And then
it's got 5 seconds left in the first half.
Oh, I thought the UConn game. So
the UConn game was second.
The second, my bad. Yeah, there we go.
There, it's halftime now, 40-31 UConn.
Yeah, so we got all that going on. We got preseason baseball. Well, not preseason.
No,
we're in real baseball. You see, I got to shift my mindset.
The records count now.
Okay, the records count. So Yankees.
I will say we do have coming up in a couple weeks. Playoff basketball, playoff hockey.
And just for my favorite, we got the Masters.
We do have the Masters weekend of
April
9th, right?
It's the 11th to the 14th.
The 11th to the 14th, but the week, yeah, okay, so. I guess that's the 8th on Monday. Yeah, so yeah.
So yeah, the Masters.
The 11th through the 14th.
Yes. I got so
2 weeks from today.
Yeah, so I got Victoria. She was watching the Players mm-hmm. Championship, mm-hmm. and she understands why. Because I always said golf is the most fun to watch on TV because it's see the guy line up the shot, see where the ball lands, mm-hmm. cut, yeah. like that. Mm-hmm. And it's very relaxing. I call it TV Xanax.
Yeah.
And it's beautifully shot too, like all the from a production value, mm-hmm. and you got Augusta.
Yeah,
but it was always the most fun. And I'll go. This is a weird tangent. So, the week after the Masters is the Heritage, mm-hmm. which is in Hilton Head where mm-hmm. we lived. A lot of guys, the big players don't go there, but some do,
yeah.
or they don't.
They ain't got
but they event. Because they're decompressing. Mm-hmm. It's like I don't want to say it's a bullshit tournament, but it's a tournament where they can go. Known as a party.
You
it's
kind of fuck it off a little bit, though.
Yeah, it's a party tournament, and Greg Norman's yacht's out there.
Isn't everything in South Carolina a party though?
Yeah, it is. And so here's the crazy story. So this is Drew, my brother Drew. So, I mean, like, dude, literally, I used to go walk on people's yachts.
Yeah.
Didn't even know. Mm-hmm. Never had a badge. They've gotten a little bit tighter in security. But anyway, so my brother, at the time, we ordered this place called New York City Pizza. It was just a local pizza place. And he was delivering. And so these guys asked to deliver to Harbortown, where the Heritage is. So he delivers it to a boat. Mm-hmm. So now these group of guys see him. And so it's in this plantation called Sea Pines mm-hmm. is the neighborhood, and they needed to get someone. They're drunk, so they pay my brother. They go, hey, you know, if you give us a ride back to our rental, whatever,
yeah,
we'll pay you $100. Brother's like, fuck yeah,
like, okay.
So he's got a Toyota Matrix, right? And so he's driving. They go, do you know who Fred Funk is? My brother's like, yeah. And he goes, well, he's in your back seat. He's like, oh, no way. Like,
wait,
oh,
he's like, wait, what?
What? So they drop him off. All the entourage goes, Fred Funk, because delivery drivers usually are stoned. Mm-hmm. Fred Funk says to my brother, hey, man, do you got any weed?
Oh.
And my brother's like, yeah, because he had like his little like chalk bubble or whatever. Right. So he's like, hey, guy, you guys go in. And so him and my brother drove around for like 5 or 6 minutes smoking. Yeah, so my brother got to smoke weed with Fred Funk.
Dude, that is fucking insane.
Yeah, and so now every time I see Fred Funk, I'm just like, yep, you're my hero. I love you.
Yeah, he was smoking that funk.
Yeah, he was smoking that funk. But he was like, dude, the guy was just a cool dude saying like Tiger's smokes hash all the time. And he was
I bet he do after all the back injuries and whatnot he's had to deal with.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, so I mean, so that's my golf story. But dude, the spring, like you said, man, there's so much.
Like people think like obviously the fall has a lot, but
spring. This is what gets the momentum started, man. So NCAA, we're at the Sweet 16. When is the Final Four would be? So we got Elite Eight.
So that will be the weekend. That would be next weekend.
Next weekend.
Yeah.
Okay. And so we have that. So Final Four is next weekend.
Yeah.
So the Yankees got 2 more games with the Astros.
Yep. Well, I think we might have a 4-game series.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they started on Thursday.
Okay.
So we got a 4-game series, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
we
do.
All right, man. Well, so we got NCAA.
Wait.
All right.
Hold on. Am I tripping? Oh no, we do. So ends on Sunday. Yeah. I was like, wait. Yes. Oh, we are on Apple TV tomorrow though. I got Apple TV.
Oh yeah, I got.
We're on Fox on Saturday, 6:15.
Oh fuck yeah. Okay. Well, if you're on Apple TV, start watching Ted Lasso.
Ah.
It is good. It's very very good.
I will do that.
What it's funny is because he is like the PG guy, but everybody else is rated R.
Yeah.
There's a lot of
everyone else has.
Yeah, they say fuck. They talk about sex. I mean, it's not. It's a kid. It could be a kid show, but whatever. But yeah. So, let's see. I'm just trying to think of a good outro music, and the only one I can think of because you blew me away when I mentioned Iona, South Carolina players. I mean, just coaches and shit. So, I'm gonna have to go with one of the greats.
I was gonna go easy on you.
Yeah. So we'll have Eminem take us out, guys. All right, let me turn this down just a little bit, guys. Thank you so much,
man,
for tuning in.
Thank y'all so much for tuning in,
Trey. It's been always a pleasure. And we're going to start doing it live here soon. But,
yeah, man.
Go to secondfloorstudios.co.
Yes, sir.
You click listen, or you do secondfloorstudios.co/listen. Click on the mixtape that says from Enzo to Strike Zone. We're up on, or you can go to anchor.fm/secondfloor.
That's where you're going to find us.
Yep, and you're going to find us on Instagram. I just started Second Floor Dallas. But Trey's going to get his coming up soon, so... There's going to be no excuse that you couldn't find it. You can find this show, right? So, Trey, you got anything to
I just want
to
let y'all know, man, I appreciate everybody that has tuned in so far. I will tune in the future. And just let y'all know, man, we're going to keep bringing y'all the best sports coverage, analysis, pop culture, music, all of that. My dog Wes has got me, man.
Thanks, man. And hands down, I've had this much fun broadcasting in forever. And I'll let anybody that wants to come with Trey, you got it. I'll let you filter that out. Guests are welcome. We got a third mic ready for you.
Guests are welcome.
Guests are welcome.
We have no filter on this podcast because this is no filter. This is no filter. This is the internet. This is what it is. So.
But everything we say is out of love and respect.
Always.
If we say something wrong, we just laugh about it.
Oh, yes, sir. All inclusive. Everybody's included.
So, all right, guys. Well, again, Trey, thank you so much.
Man,
Eminem.
Appreciate you. Yes, sir. In person of all the fame, only Hall of Fame. I'll be inducted in is the alcohol of fame on the wall of. You can't think it's all a game till I walk a block of flames. Off a blanket, tell me what did you think? Little time beginning to feel like a rap. All my people from the front to the back. No. The way I'm racing around the track, call me NASCAR. Failing hard, I'm a tear to park the way past God. Kill before generals are, this planet's Krypton. No Asgard. So you be throwing, I'll be owing. Let off, then I'm reloading. Immediately response, I'm talking. And I should not be woken. I'm the walking dead, but I'm just a talking head. I just wanna make sure somewhere in the chicken scratch I scribble in doodle enough rhymes to maybe try to help get some people through tough times. But I gotta keep a few punchlines just in case they get unsigned. Rappers are hungry looking at me like it's lunchtime. I know there was a time where once I was king of the underground, but I still rap like I'm on my Pharaoh Munch grind. So I punch rhymes, but sometimes when you combine up here with the skin color.
I was, but I'm from the future, just a killing future. Like when Babbitt is made Ray J mad. This bad pretty looks like a guy that made what is passing into a man. I'll be KK, yeah, no. Man, oh man, that was a 24/7 special on the cable channel. Day, hey, Bab, I'ma kill you. Lyrics coming at you with supersonic speed.
JJ Fab.
Summon, I'ma do my number, you assuming I'm a human. What I gotta do to get it through to you?